1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Again, if you have not received a scripture journal, please take one of those. They're available to you out in the lobby, and that will help you, give you a place to keep notes right alongside the scripture passages that we are covering as we go through our series on 1 Thessalonians,
ever learning or leading. That is an apt description for this church that is living in the first century world in a Roman colony. The heavy hand of the Romans, the aggressive influence of the Jews, it's all present there and all standing in opposition to what is going on in this group of people known as the Church of the Thessalonians. But with mission's emphasis upon us again, as we work our way through this month, we are going to be reminded of two facts about living for Christ here on earth. One, we're going to be reminded of the fact that the gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful, people are being saved, and God's church is prevailing. Names like Mubarak and Bashira and Akrut and Gokman. These are people that we know and we know well if we keep up to date with the letters that come, the emails that come from our missionaries. These are people who have been saved in hostile situations, are still experiencing the hostility of this world against Christ, and yet are living with joy, proclaiming Christ as their Savior in those environments. The gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful, and people are being saved, and His church is prevailing. But we'll be reminded of something else. And that gospel of Jesus Christ is being rejected. But not only is it being rejected, it is hated and it is aggressively opposed to a far greater degree than most of us in Wausau, Wisconsin are aware of. Some face open hostility. Tajikistan, Ukraine, Chad, to some extent, Turkey. For some, it's more subtle. Sweden, France, here in the United States. Spurgeon said this. This is not a Spurgeon Sunday, but Spurgeon said this. He asked the question, do you expect to be honored in a world where your Lord was crucified? A good question. Why do we think that coming to Christ and coming to our Savior protects us from the very things that led Him to the cross to be crucified for you and for me and to secure our hope in eternity? The Thessalonians knew hostility to the gospel. Notice here verses 5 and 6. This is review, but leading passage for this morning. As the Apostle Paul says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. The affliction that is by Paul is going back just a couple of years to when Paul and his missionary team had begun to witness in the city of Thessalonica. And as people were hearing the gospel and getting saved, this mob violence erupted over the decisions that were being made by those who had heard the gospel. So as the gospel is being preached, the Thessalonians witnessed the violence aimed at the messengers, and they also witnessed the violence of those who received the message that was being preached. The unsaved in Thessalonica heard the gospel, and at the same time, but While that is taking place, the unsaved, many of them, in fact, it says multitudes, a great number of unsaved turn to Christ and they receive. What they were witnessing as an attack against the message and the messengers and those who received it, as they heard that and the Holy Spirit worked in their heart and they accepted the gift, they received the word, what happened to the attacks? They shifted onto them. In other words, people were being saved not in the comfort of a safe, cozy living room. They knew full well that if I surrender to Jesus as Savior and Lord and King, those attacks that I'm witnessing will come upon me. Notice in chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, again, we'll come to this, but notice what Paul says to them. He says, you, brethren, you became imitators of the churches of God. An important point here. Someone made the point last week or the week before that we don't like imitation. Right? We don't like imitation crab meat. Well, we do, some of us, but it's just not the same. All right, pollock, crab, no, they don't equal. Okay, we don't like, you know, imitation cheese is okay, but four-year cheddar is far better. Right? Imitation is not, meaning fake, is not what we're going for here. We're going for exact representation and likeness. That's what this word means. You, brethren, became exact representation and likeness, imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. They were taking a stand. You also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. In other words, no matter where you go, when you take a stand for Christ and you become an imitator of Christ, living as a representation of Him, you can expect those around you who don't to be hostile against your stand and against your person. And so the Thessalonians knew this hostility. They knew this affliction, verse 6. But did you notice that they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit? Simply put, earthly explanations don't measure up to their response. There is no reason for joy in these circumstances apart from the joy that is given. It is not a joy from experience. It is a joy that is a gift of grace from the God of grace. And He gives it to His people in great measure so that even in the midst of affliction, we can still know the joy of the Lord in the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. It is a joy that comes from God. Well, Paul takes us back to that moment when these people got saved. Verses 8 through 10 is our text this morning. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, because remember, they had become examples in Macedonia and Achaia, and that was noteworthy. Paul and his companions were thankful for that example and that testimony that spread. But notice how this testimony preaches. Not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. In other words, the message that we preach to you, people know because of what you are saying and because of how you are living. Here's how you turned. You turned to God from idols, to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now notice a couple of things here, if you will. We'll begin in verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. This is a message that is repeated over and over in Thessalonians. We understand the word of the Lord. This is the Lord's words, the Lord's gospel, His good news that goes forth out of their mouth. Keep your hand here and let's go back to the book of Acts, and I want us to see the effects of the word of the Lord. You have these passages written for you here up on the screen. We'll begin in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, verse 25. So when they had testified and preached, here it is, the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So we see the equation here between the Lord's words and the gospel. The gospel of the Lord, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is their message. This is what they are preaching. Chapter 13, verse 44. On the next Sabbath, by the way, let's just start at 42. This is so good here. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them next Sabbath. Tell us more. We want to hear more of the word of the Lord. When the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. God's words are being proclaimed through the preacher. Down to verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Many of the Jews were stirred up over this in a negative way, but God's word is penetrating hearts as it is being preached. Chapter 15. Verse 35, and then down to verse 36. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, with many others also. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they were doing." Silas is soon to come on board as John Mark leaves the missionary team. But the word of the Lord continues on as their curriculum, if you will. It is God's words that are being communicated. 16, verse 32. Silas is now on board. Verse 32, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. Speaking of the Philippian jailer. And what's the result? The whole household gets saved as a result of the word of the Lord being preached. And then chapter 19, verse 10. As Paul is preaching in Ephesus, this continued for 2 years. So that all who dwelt in Asia, that is a massive claim, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And notice verse 20, the result, the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. The words of God go forth in power. That is the message that is going out. That's the message that came to the Thessalonians. This is what introduced them to their hope of eternal life. Notice the result. From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Has sounded forth not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. The word of the Lord, it sounded forth. Interesting. From you, your faith. This is the message that went out from you in every place. What's going on here? As you read through verse 8, we see this. We see that this message, God's words, produce faith in you, and your faith toward God has gone out. In other words, the change that you experience as a result of the preaching of the Word of God, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ, is what the Bible teaches. And so as God's message goes out, it penetrates the hard hearts of men and women. And as we heard last week, children. And it changes them. So from you, your faith toward God has gone out. How? Through this message, the word of the Lord. And what did it do? It rang out is the wording that is used in the original. It rang out. It went out from you. The idea is a ripple effect. You've all been there, most likely, where you've been to a river or to a lake, especially a lake when it is super calm, and you toss something out there, and it is as if those ripples keep going on and on and on forever. Until they meet an opposite force, they just keep rippling out. They keep spreading out. That's the idea behind in verse 8, your faith toward God has gone out. It rippled. How far? Through Macedonia and Achaia, out to every place. So what Paul is communicating is that no matter where we go and no matter where we take this gospel, what we're finding is they've heard of it because they've heard of how we preach the gospel to you. Your lives were changed, and your message, which is our message, has a ripple effect. And people all around are hearing it. Okay, friend, listen. How's your ripple effect? Well, I don't have much of one anymore. Why not? What stood against your ripple? What stifled it? What overcame it? Was it discouragement? There's a lot of discouraging things that happen in this world. Was it opposition? Thessalonians know well of this. So does Paul. Was it a smaller stone? It doesn't have quite the effect it used to have. If you have been saved, if I have been saved, the question that we need to ask, are others seeing our salvation? Are they hearing of our salvation? Are they aware of the ripple effect? Are they being affected by it? At work, at home, at school, in my family, is my salvation at work? Are people hearing of my salvation? We've referred to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 this morning. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. for it, not me. Not me with my ability to proclaim anything, not you with your ability to speak in a persuading way. I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is that? That's the word of God that is coming out of the apostle's mouth as he witnesses to those in Thessalonica. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. So again, ask yourself, friend, how is your ripple effect? How is it going? Speaking and living in an infectious way. Some of you have done that, at least to one extent. This morning, when you leave the auditorium, you will have the opportunity to receive this. This is our third installment of devotionals meant to be an encouragement to Wausau Bible Church. These devotional writings have been written by you. Those of us who call Wausau Bible Church home. And it's an opportunity for us to be an encouragement and a blessing to one another. It is an opportunity for us to stick our necks out and possibly be criticized for what we've written. But we are so committed to the change that God has worked in our hearts that we desire to proclaim. Ripple effect. So when you leave today, please grab one of these. The ushers will be at the door handing these out. And I hope it's a great blessing as you go through this. Volumes 1 and 2 are available in the church office if you'd like to grab a copy of those as well. But this is number 3 for the fall of this year. What does this come out of? It comes out of the same work that the gospel had on the Thessalonians. They're devotional. Was their testimony. And Paul was encouraged by it. So here's what provided such a ringing testimony. Notice in verses 9 and 10. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. Verses 9 and 10. What is it that showed everyone that the Thessalonians have been changed? What is it that showed everyone that God had been at work? It is that they repented. They turned away from what everyone else was doing. What was everyone else doing? They were serving a variety of idols. It doesn't matter to us what the flavor of that idol was this morning. There were all different kinds of idols and all different varieties of idol worship that was going on in the day at the time, just as there is today. Paul says here's what made the difference. You turn to God from idols. This morning, in the time that we have remaining, and it's not much, I'd just like to introduce us to this idea of repentance. Acts chapter 9, if you will. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 is the testimony of Paul and how God changed him, how God saved him. We won't read the whole chapter, but it's basically verses 1 through 19, which describe to us the confrontation that Paul had with God. He had witnessed God's people. He had witnessed their faithfulness. He had witnessed their trust in the Lord. No doubt the conviction was brewing as he stood against this group of people who were preaching a message other than the traditional Judaism that Paul was accustomed to. Verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice. And as we read in the verses that